So I have a somewhat personal question to ask you. You don't have to answer. Obviously, don't answer out loud. I wouldn't want you to embarrass yourself. But I just want you to think about this for a moment. Has there ever been anyone who has sued you or had cause for suing you? And maybe you're in the midst of one right now. Is there ever been anybody that's done something that you felt like you wanted to sue them for that? As you know, we're living in a day where it seems like everybody is looking for a reason. They're looking for an excuse to sue somebody. It's just crazy. As one editor put it, in today's sue or be sued society, it sometimes seems that litigation, lawyers, lawsuits have replaced, I love this, have replaced baseball as America's favorite pastime. Personal responsibility, once a cornerstone principle that propelled America to prominence as the greatest country of all time, has been methodically replaced by runaway civil litigation. He goes on, with virtually anyone and everyone in America having become a litigation magnet, we are quickly becoming a country of lawyers, by the lawyers, and for the lawyers. It's just nasty. It's ugly. It's all around us. It's just like for every little excuse, somebody wants to sue somebody. For example, there was a mother in Oregon who once sued her son's school for giving her boy a haircut without her permission. She says, well, she might have been grateful if the school employee had given him a good haircut, but because it was a bad haircut, she threatened to sue and she was awarded $10,000 to settle the case. Just because they decided he needed a haircut. In Ohio, just a few years back, there was a youth league's baseball coach who was sued by the catcher's father for $2,000 because the team ended up with a 0-15 season score. Yeah, the lawsuit claimed poor coaching and incompetence, which cost the team a trip to a tournament in Florida. Yeah, he wanted that free trip to Florida, and they didn't get it, so he sued the coach for that. At North Haven High School in Connecticut, two high school baton twirlers who were cut from the majorettes program, they sued the coach, they sued the athletic director, and the high school principal, claiming that their civil rights had been violated for having been cut from the team without cause. Could you imagine if every student out there that didn't make the team sued the school because they didn't make the team anyway? It's just craziness. A West Virginia convenience store worker was awarded $2,699,000 in punitive damages after injuring her back opening a pickle jar. And I'm like, okay, how do you... You know, I try to picture this, and I was like, okay, this makes me laugh. And I wondered, why not just give her one more dollar and make it an even $2,700, you know? Anyway, you'll love this one. A California man sued the Las Vegas Hilton and Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino. You can probably guess where this is going. Claiming that the casino was negligent in allowing him to gamble away more than $1 million while he was intoxicated. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Okay, I'll finish with this one. You know, probably all of you have watched some kind of a sport, you know, might be into something, whatever that might be. Have you ever known a sport that was 100% injury-free? Now, I'm not talking about crochet or anything like that, but, you know, sports. Have you ever known one that was 100% injury-free? Of course not. Except for this one athlete, Daniel Hannett of Pittsfield, Illinois, sued the maker of Louisville Slugger for over $1 million. And according to the lawsuit, On April 1st, 2000, this 17-year-old Hannett was pitching for his high school team against the Calhoun Pioneers. Well, the Calhoun team was using a Louisville Slugger TPX bat, which was a very high-tech aluminum bat. Well, the batter hit one of Hannett's pitches, and it nailed him in the head, causing serious and life-threatening injuries. Well, according to the lawsuit, and I quote, "Due to the bat manufacturer's design and construction of the bat, the exit speed of the baseball from the bat was so great that Hannett was unable to react to the baseball so as to protect himself from being struck." And the suit then goes on to assert that the manufacturer failed to, and I love this, failed to put warning labels on the bat, saying that it could cause the baseball to be propelled with such velocity that when hit directly toward a pitcher, it doesn't allow the pitcher sufficient reaction time to avoid being struck. And I'm thinking, okay, so what's the batter going to do? Walk out to the pitcher, make sure you read this label before I hit the ball? Craziness, but anyway, so he sued. He didn't sue the batter, by the way, for hitting the ball. He didn't sue the team for using a dangerous bat. He didn't sue the High School Athletic Association for allowing them to use the bat. And I'm thinking probably because he knew he wouldn't get the kind of money that he was wanting. But it is just, it's craziness. It's all around us. Everybody is looking for an excuse. Of course, we all remember the McDonald's, you know, the hot cup and spilled it in any way. Everybody is looking for an excuse. Now, I guess I'm confident that nobody in here would ever do anything like that, at least I hope. But we are all vulnerable to being sued for some craziness sometimes. And like I said earlier, maybe you're even involved in something right now. But the question is it right for Christians to sue? Is it right for Christians to sue? What does Scripture have to say? So open your Bibles if you haven't already. 1 Corinthians, that's where we're currently at. Starting into chapter 6 now. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, Paul, it seems kind of odd as I study through this. You know, the first four chapters, he's dealing with this whole issue of pride there in the church. All the results of that pride. Chapter 5, he goes into then talking about church discipline and how it's important for church discipline to deal with some of these things that were happening as a result of pride. And then in chapter 6, it's like he almost takes kind of a detour, and he's talking about lawsuits. Well, you know, in all reality, it really isn't all that odd. If you remember, the problem in the church was pride, and because of that pride, things were really getting out of control. And as we know, there were a number of factions that had developed, a lot of divisions going on in the church, and you can kind of see where that would lead to, right? Everybody wanting what they wanted. Everybody feeling that their way was right. Everybody saying, no, it's my way, not your way. And, you know, so consequently, as emotions begin to flare, now you've got these Christians in the church all suing each other. And that's exactly what was happening. It was brothers and sisters just suing each other over who knows what. I mean, we can kind of speculate, but there was just all this craziness going on. So Paul is going to address this whole thing about lawsuits. And the title of my message is, In Lawsuits, Everyone Loses. We're going to look at a number of different things here. We're going to see that lawsuits are foolish, they're shameful, and lastly, we're going to see how they're just a lost cause in so many ways. But the first thing Paul shows us is that lawsuits are foolish. Lawsuits are foolish. Look at verse 1 with me. Let's pick up chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. When one of you has a grievance against another, Does he dare go to the law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life? So if you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? Now, before we get too far in this, we just need to clarify and make sure we're understanding what Paul's talking about here. He starts right off by saying, has a grievance against. Has a grievance. In the Greek, that was commonly a way of saying having a lawsuit against someone. And so Paul's clearly talking about lawsuits here. And then he says, another. That can also be translated as neighbor. Some translations use neighbor, but basically another brother or sister in the body of Christ. And then finally, we know that Paul believed that there were times when criminal matters should be taken before legal authority, because he talks about it in Romans chapter 13. And we even see times where he called on legal authorities. So we'll talk a little bit about that here in a little bit. But what Paul is talking about here, he's referring specifically to property and civil matters between believers within the body of Christ. You know, and again, we can only speculate what some of those things were. Perhaps they were suing the church that they wanted some of their offerings back because their offerings were going to support those other teachers that they didn't like so well. You know, craziness like that. Maybe they were going into specific ministries to help Paul's ministry or Apollos' ministry, and they're like, no, I didn't want my money going there. I want it going here, so give me my money back. You know, craziness like that. We talked last week, remember, about the man that was living with his father's wife, basically sleeping with his mother. Maybe the father was suing the son for doing what he was doing. It's hard to say, but you can just about imagine with all this going on in the church, everybody against each other, people actually suing each other. You know, and we think, how could this ever happen in a church of all places? Well, not so long ago, a pastor sued his denomination for age discrimination because he couldn't find another church willing to hire him. Another pastor sued his church and the church board, claiming that they were interfering with his duties, that they weren't allowing him to do things he wanted to do, and so he was suing for that. The board of trustees, I thought this was kind of humorous, the board of trustees of a Baptist church in Louisiana filed a suit to remove their pastor from his position. A few days later, another group, claiming to be the real trustees, filed a lawsuit to remove these others from church membership. And on it goes. It's just absolute craziness, and we wonder, how could it ever come to that? And then we wonder why it is that some unbelievers don't want to have any part of a church when they see this going on. It was a serious problem in Corinth. And it was a problem that Paul had to deal with. And it's a problem in some places even to this day. I mean, I've been at some churches where it could have very easily escalated into that kind of a situation. But Paul, as he's told us before, it just all boils down to one thing. It was a problem of pride. It was a problem of pride. And Paul says lawsuits are foolish. Pure and simple, they're foolish. And now here he makes some really good points. He goes on, he says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And do you not know that we are to judge angels? That's interesting. Think about that for a moment. There's passages in Scripture, such as Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Revelation 24. We're told that at the end of time as we know it, Christians will be called to judge angels. All of humanity, and angels, who are at this point in time superior to man, but they will one day be under our authority. Now, we don't know a whole lot about angels, except that they live in a different realm than us, obviously, and they have a different nature. We also know that some of them disobeyed God and turned their back on God. You know, so there's not a lot we know, but Scripture tells us that God is preparing us that one day we will be sharing in the responsibility of judging the angels, overseeing the angels. And one day we're going to be able to understand those hidden desires of the angels, why they think and do the things that they do, what urged some of those angels to fall away and turn away from God. We'll have a clear understanding of that. It's amazing to think about that. But God is preparing us even now for that responsibility. Here's the point. Paul says if God is preparing us now for that kind of responsibility to judge all humankind and all of the angels, if we have access to God's wisdom to have that kind of discernment, why would we want to go to an unbeliever and trust in them with issues of the church? Why would we go to man's wisdom to settle problems within the church? Paul said several times earlier in his letter that compared to God's wisdom, that the thoughts of man is what? Foolishness. When you compare our thoughts and our mind, our wisdom to God, ours are just plain out foolish. As one writer put it, it's almost like having a mathematician who works with great computers, having him call in a ninth grader and ask for help to balance his checkbook. You know, it's like compare God's wisdom to our wisdom. There's no compare. It's just absolute foolishness, Paul says. Why take something to the wisdom of the world and ask them to settle the issue? I mean, seriously, if a Christian is being prepared to judge the world and judge angels, then surely Christians can settle disputes within the church. Surely we can handle those little things that's going on within the church. Why? Well, he says in verse 4, can you even think about appointing someone as a judge who's not associated with the church? Somebody that's using human wisdom. Hopefully we wouldn't. And that's Paul's point here. He says taking the issues within a church to an outside court of law is absolute foolishness. Well, then he goes on and he says that lawsuits are shameful. Just total shameful. Look at verse 5. He says, I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you who is wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers? That brother goes to law against brother and that before unbelievers? You know, I can almost hear the disappointment in Paul's heart here. Here's a bunch of Christians that are boasting about their spirituality and, you know, those that are saying, well, I'm of Christ, you know, and just bragging about how spiritual they are, and yet there was nobody in that church that was wise enough to settle simple disputes, couldn't deal with these ridiculous matters going on. And Paul is like, shame, it's just shameful. He's just beside himself here. And because of this pride, he just says, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves. It's just craziness. Lawsuits are shameful. You know, really, and he's talked about this in the past too, that this pride and now this issue of not being able to settle lawsuits and all that is really, it's a sign of spiritual immaturity. Remember he said they're babes in Christ and they need to mature in Christ and grow up. And he talked about that earlier. But again, he's just encouraging his brothers. You guys need to grow up. You need to mature and deal with these things. You know, it's like watching little children squabble over, you know, who gets what toy and who's going to play with what, you know, and then parents having to step in and settle this whole thing. And that's what it goes on in the church, you know. So Tammy pulls up and she's going to pull into her spot that she's always in. And then Joe comes along and squeezes in the parking spot, and they get out and they start fighting over, you know, it's my spot. Well, no, you pulled in. No, it's my, you know, and this kind of crazy stuff. You know, we argue over who gets what seat in the church, or what color the carpeting should be, or what color the walls should be, or what songs we should be singing, and on it goes. What kind of music? Silly things that we get into these crazy disputes over, and it happens within the church. And he says, grow up. Somebody in the church must be mature enough to be able to settle these things. You know, and then that's where Galatians 5:22 and 23 comes in. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, safe self-control. That should be present within the church. And if there is somebody that's still immature, somebody that's still young in the Lord, take those differences to somebody that is mature. Take it to a pastor, an elder, somebody that you know is mature in Christ, but don't go out to these outside pagan courts. Don't take it outside of the church. And so Paul says that surely there's at least one mature person in your church. Surely there's just one that can settle this dispute. He says you should be ashamed of yourselves. And then in verse 7 and verse 8, he goes on to show us that lawsuits are a lost cause. A lost cause. Look at verse 7. To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. To have these disagreements, you've already lost. Why not rather suffer a wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. If you sue your brother or sister, you both lose. Plain and simple, you both lose. Well, why is that? How can that be? Well, the truth is, there's a couple of ways. For one thing, if you can't settle a dispute, it's clearly a sign of spiritual immaturity. You just haven't grown up. And so Paul says that you've been defeated spiritually. If you can't settle a dispute, then you've already outwardly admitted that you're a babe in Christ, that you're not spiritual. Spiritual immaturity. And they were demonstrating that. They were selfish. They were, you know, all about me. They had no trust in God and in the power of God and what God could do. You know, they were just going after these, you know, I want it my way, and trying to settle things among themselves. They were becoming angry. They were bitter. They were judgmental. And what happens when you get into that kind of an attitude is you're just distancing yourself from God because what? You're trying to be your own God. Bottom line, I'm going to make this my way. And that's what was going on there. And they were completely ignoring, you know, passages like 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5. It says, love is patient, love is kind, is not jealous, love does not brag, is not arrogant or prideful, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own. You might say that it doesn't try to get what you think is yours or get even. It's not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. That's what the church should be all about, love. Being able to settle these things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39 and 40, that whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn him the other also. Turn the other one. And if he wants to sue you, take your shirt and let him have your coat also. If somebody wants to sue you for something, then fine, give it to him. Give him even more. Give him even more. That'll get up their attention. You know, and then Jesus told Peter, remember when he says, how many times are we supposed to forgive somebody? You know, okay, they treated me wrongly, and all right, I'll give them one chance. Maybe I'll even give them twice. And he said, Jesus, how many times should we really forgive somebody? And he says, I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That was the Greek way of saying unlimited times. How many times are you supposed to forgive somebody? As many times as it takes. Just keep on forgiving. According to Matthew chapter 5, the person will lose out on God's blessing. The person will lose out on God's blessings. John MacArthur, you know, is one of my favorites. He shares this story of an attorney friend of his. He says that over the years, he has counseled dozens of Christians to drop lawsuits against each other. He says in some 90% of the cases, he has been successful, and he reports that without exception, in those cases where people have dropped the lawsuits, those believers were overly blessed. He also says, without exception, those who insisted on resolving their disputes in court, they became bitter and they became resentful, even if they won the case. It just breeds that anger within you, that bitterness, and that it's just not healthy. If you insist on trying to sue somebody, you will be defeated spiritually. It will just drive you down. It's a lost cause. Another way that lawsuits can be a lost cause is that they can be a bad testimony. It can be a bad testimony. Consider Jesus. Okay, no better example than our Lord, right? Jesus had every reason to get what was right. Okay, he is the Lord of Lords. And people were obviously treating him less than human, and he had every right to get what was right for him, and yet he didn't. Are lawsuits worth it? Is what you might gain out of it, is it really worth it? Is it possible that the church is forfeiting the opportunity, that we're giving up the chance for thousands of lost sinners out there to come to the Lord because we're just so focused on getting what's right? What kind of a testimony are we presenting to the world? You know, the bottom line is that it's wrong for Christians to sue. It's just, we lose. No matter how you look at it, we lose. Now, there's a few points that I want to draw out here, because I know that you've got questions in your mind. Well, is there never a reason for lawsuits? Well, noticed in the context of Paul's letter here, he's talking about Christians suing other Christians, and he's talking about specific things like property and civil issues, things that should be settled within the church. Does not mean that Christians should not defend their integrity in a court of law. For example, say in a matter of your integrity, you know, you need to hire a lawyer to represent you and sort through all the facts in an unbiased manner. Hopefully it would be a Christian lawyer that's representing you. You know, and I thought about it. Christian lawyer, is that an oxymoron? Yeah. Anyway, hopefully this lawyer you hire is a Christian. Another case in point is when a Christian breaks the law, literally goes out and breaks the law. You know, if they were, say a Christian were to break into your house and steal something from your house, some of your possessions, do we still love them? Absolutely. Do we forgive them? Absolutely. But the fact is they broke the law. And a legal system must come in to settle the issue, to deal with it from a legal standpoint. But you know what? I would ask myself, if a Christian was doing that, were they really a Christian to begin with? Right? So, but it's a legal matter. You know, it's something where somebody has truly broken the law. You know, suppose somebody files divorce papers against you, you know, or perhaps there's been accusation of child abuse on one of the parents. Even if the adult or parent or spouse claims to be a Christian, it requires a legal system to sort all that out. But again, I question, was that person a believer to begin with? Did they really know the Lord to begin with? And so you need a system to sort all that out. Here's one for you, and it's one that's becoming more apparent. What if your child takes a Bible to school and they get expelled? Sometimes it's necessary, I think, just for your rights as a believer to have a legal standing behind you to represent that. And maybe you remember what happened to Paul in the book of Acts. There was one occasion, we see it in Acts 22, where he stood up for his rights as a Roman citizen, and he appealed to the court to have his case settled. It was a situation where it was necessary to get legal representation. So there's one other thing that I want you to consider here. You know, we've been talking about Christians suing Christians and should you, shouldn't you, and all that. But what if a non-Christian sues you? You know, Paul doesn't suggest that the church should settle matters where non-believers, where the world is suing somebody within the church. You need to have some representation for that. Scripture tells us that we won't be judging the world until the Lord comes back. And so we need to have sometimes some legal representation there. And as for Christians suing non-Christians, I think the same principles still apply in all of this. You know, try to settle things that you can on your own, but then sometimes you may need to have representation. But, you know, the question I want to really make is our foundation here. The thing that I want you to think about, how much are you willing to lose that the lost might be saved? You know, if a non-Christian, Christian, whoever, if somebody sues you, how much are you willing to give up that they might get right with the Lord? That should be the foundation question in every situation that we find ourselves in. You know, it's all about attitude, isn't it? The way we think and the way that we deal with these things. If we're living our Christian life full of pride, like these believers in Corinth were, we're going to be greedy. We're going to want everything for ourselves. We won't be growing in the Lord, obviously. And chances are we're going to be involved in these kinds of things. But we need to be mature Christians. We need to be able to settle these disputes in a Christian way, on our own. Go to somebody more mature if necessary. But do it in a peaceful way. And consequently, we will be a powerful testimony to the world. They'll see that we can live in peace, that we can settle things, and that we can be a Christ-like church. Paul says in verse 7, why not suffer wrong? Why not suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? Is it worth it? How much are you willing to lose for the sake of the gospel? Father, thank you for your strong words here. Thank you for this message, this reminder. You know, we talk about your love and your grace and nice things like that, but there's sometimes ugliness that happens in the church. And like the case of Corinth, where Christians were suing other Christians, you've even addressed things like that. And Father, thank you for this reminder that it's not necessary, that we shouldn't be finding ourselves in those kinds of situations, that we should depend on you, that we should be willing to not only give the shirt off our back, but get off our coat also, turn the other cheek, follow the example of our Lord, be willing to give it up, give it all up, to lose it all for the sake of you. So, Father, thank you again, and may we be that kind of people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.